Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Dirty Giants podcast. We have Braden Staples on this week, and he killed an awesome buck this year. We're going to hear all about it. But Braden also works for Dark Energy, and they have some Black Friday sales going on right now, up to 35% off plus free shipping, and that's going to go till December 7th. If you haven't checked out some of their stuff, it's definitely worth looking at. I use their stuff on a couple of my hunts this year and absolutely loved it. They have the solar panel and the charger pack, and we'll kind of talk a little bit about some new products coming as well. Anyways, thanks for tuning in. Let's get into some
Talking
stories.
about deer, so it was
Yeah,
perfect.
no, I remember we were gonna do the podcast, and then luckily we I think kind of got held up a little, and then you ended up killing this deer this year, so it kind of worked out. But maybe
Was even
just
better.
we'll start by just kind of telling us a little bit about yourself and what you do, and I guess kind of how you got into hunting and everything.
Yeah, I can definitely do that. So my name, as commonly mentioned, is Braden Staples. I am the marketing manager at Dark Energy. And we're kind of in the outdoor hunting space. That's actually why I started working there, was because I wanted to be in the hunting space. I wanted to interact with people that get out and get after it. And what we do is we make portable batteries and solar panels that people can take with them to keep their phones charged for digiscoping or Onyx or whatever. And we'll actually be diving more into that at the end. We'll talk about some of the new stuff that actually launched this like within this last week
Yeah.
and some stuff to look forward for next year. I'll even tease a little bit. So
Oh,
we can
perfect.
dive more into that. But I think the other part of what you mentioned is just what got me into hunting and kind of that whole thing. And I'm sure a lot of people have this similar experience, but it was my dad. It was something we would do as a family growing up. We'd go up and we'd hunt and we'd just chase deer. And that was our yearly tradition. We'd go up, we'd spend a couple days on the hill pushing deer around, trying to make something happen and just having a great time with my dad. And he actually hasn't, I don't think he's had a tag in probably 10, 15 years now, but he'll still come up and help us and be happy for my brother and I whenever we ask. But that was really where it started, although it's grown a lot in the past couple of years, which has been really fun.
Yeah, and it seems like you're doing something right, 'cause the last 2 years you've killed awesome bucks, and so maybe we'll just get right into some buck stories. So in 2024, up to that point, you killed the biggest buck you'd killed. So maybe just tell us how that all went down and what happened, what the buck was.
I can definitely do that. And I wish there was a great way to share some pictures. Maybe you have a way or you can post them on like the Instagram to show them. But yeah, I'll just dive right into my last year's buck because it was the biggest deer, probably the biggest deer we'd ever seen where we hunt in a while. And just for people's like information, what it is my grandpa happens to own some property, and that's where we go. That's where our yearly tradition is. That's where we go hunt. And I'd always look at my dad's bucks on the wall and be like, we're never seeing anything like they used to that he was killing when he was younger. And that was okay. Like we were just going up to have fun. We hunted it the way they'd always hunted it, which was pushing through the trees and hoping something would run out. And so with my last year's buck, that's actually kind of what we did. Which looking back now, I probably would have done it a little different, but we'd been up, I guess, on the property hunting elk a couple weeks before, and we'd seen zero deer. I think we'd seen like two does.
Oh
And
no.
so we're like getting ready for deer season, and I have an elk tag that I'm more excited about because it's muzzleloader. It's going to be later in the year. And the day before the deer hunt started, we got snow. And so I'm just thinking, okay, it is what it is. Like we got snow, maybe something will have walked in. And I wasn't expecting much. We ended up going up that kind of afternoon. We did we again, like growing up, we never sat and glassed or really did the typical things that people do when they're hunting deer. We just pushed through the trees, and if we saw something we liked, we'd try and get it. And
Yeah.
I know that's a hunting strategy, and it works sometimes. So we actually pushed through that first day. This one area that all it feels like every year there's deer there. Some I say that it feels like there's every year there's deer there, but some years there's definitely not. And this first day when we pushed through, not a single deer ran out. Like we had people walking through the bottom, walking through the brush, making noise, and not a deer ran out of this place. And so we ended up going home for the day, and I thought nothing of it. And I was like, well, this is going to be one of those deer hunts that absolutely sucks. And we go up the next day, and I'm just like, hey, we're just going to do it different. I'm like, let's just see what happens. One of us can go sit over here, watch this piece of the property. One of us can go sit and watch the other piece of the property. And we'd done this on a different piece in a different unit, just because you couldn't hunt it the way we'd been hunting. And we're like, okay. So my brother is sitting over watching where we ended up first seeing the deer. And he texts me and goes, hey, there's a buck over here you should come look at. And I'm like, okay. It actually ended up being the buck my wife killed that year, which is a 3 point. It's a good deer. It's not a giant by any means, but a great deer. And as soon as we walked over the ridge to go sit down and like glass where they were, I don't know what we did wrong, but it seems like every deer in that place got up and started running.
Really? Okay.
There were deer running everywhere. And so like we're just trying to pick out one that we should maybe go after, and I look to my left and I just see antlers, like giant antlers running away from us. And I'm
Yeah.
like, I specifically remember saying, that's a giant. And then I took off to try and go cut him off, and there's no way you're ever going to do that with a deer. So I run to the top of the ridge and start heading down the road. And I'm thinking there's no way we're ever going to get it. All I had in my backpack was my spotting scope. So I threw my bag on the side, and my wife's with me. She throws her bag on the side, and we continue. We kind of get up to where they were and just don't see them. And I'm kind of losing hope. I was like, that was a great deer.
You're like, dang.
And so anyway, we go pop back over the ridge, glass for a second, decide to go over where I think the deer went. And my wife is a type 1 diabetic, and her blood sugar was going low.
Oh,
But I
no.
didn't realize when she dropped her bag, she dropped all of like the snacks she has in order to bring her blood sugar up. So she tells me like, hey, I have to go get food. But she's like, you go get the deer. So very selfless of my wife. And it actually was the entire reason that I ended up getting this deer. So if she was with me, I was gonna like cross over right where we were into this area that kind of had two little patches of aspens and like a sagebrush flat. And we were gonna go in one of the groups of aspens to kind of check this draw that's on the other side. Well, because she had to go back, I was like, okay, you do that. I'm going to go down the fence like 500 yards and then cross over in between the groups of trees. You go where our bags are and come that way. And then maybe he'll end up somewhere that one of us can get a shot. And so that was the plan. I went down the fence. The fence is kind of like next to a road, so people just don't trespass. And I jump over the fence to where these deer had gone, and I'm walking through the brush in between the groups of trees, and I just see a deer stand up out of the brush, and I I didn't even have time to think. I just saw I had antlers and was big enough for me, and so I shot it.
Yeah. Like, how
Like,
close are you? Are you like, is it standing up within 50 yards or what?
maybe 70,
Oh
maybe,
man.
like
Okay.
getting ready to run,
Yeah.
and because we'd already spooked it once. So I shoot, and then two other bucks jump up, and I knew I'd hit the first one, so I was like, hopefully I got the big one. I
Yeah.
had no idea. Like, it was just pure reaction. And I mean, the day before and the weeks before, we hadn't even seen a deer. So I was stoked to get one. And then we walked up, and it ended up being one of the biggest deer we'd seen up there in a long time. Like, I brought it back and compared it to some of the ones my dad has, and it was as big as the biggest one he shot.
No way. Okay, so like all
Yes.
that daydreaming and stuff, like now
Yeah.
you're on the board. You
All
have a
that
buck of that
daydreaming.
caliber.
Exactly. And we hadn't seen one in years. So it was like kind of incredible and very lucky is how I would describe it. So I guess
That's
sometimes it pays to be lucky.
right. So
Yeah.
then we'll fast forward to 2025, and this one it seems like it wasn't quite so much luck. Like you had to put a lot
No.
of work and effort and time into this. Like you hunted them
Yeah.
for multiple months. Like,
Yes.
so tell us like how you first like laid eyes on him or knew where he was and get into
Yeah.
that if that's okay.
Yeah, I'm definitely down too. So this year, you're right, it is way different. I decided that now that my wife and I moved in between this year and last year, and so
Okay.
I decided I wanted to, instead of just getting a general rifle tag like we'd done every other year, I was going to get the dedicated hunter tag here in Utah,
Yeah.
which, for those who don't know, allows you to hunt every season. There are some other requirements you have to do, but that's what I wanted to do because I now live close enough where I could go hunt almost every evening if I wanted to.
Yeah, that's way nice.
And it ended up hunting almost every evening. That's all I'm gonna say. A couple days before the hunt started, my wife and I went up, and I had some game cameras up there just because I love to see all of the animals in the spring.
Yeah.
And this was before, yeah, I just love to see them. So it was right before kind of the season was about to get started, and we went over to go check my cameras, and we're sitting on the ridge, and I was like, hey, let's just look down there before we go stomping through and scare everything out like a week before my hunt starts or whatever it was. And she's like, okay. So I start glassing, and immediately I pick out this deer, and it's a little 2-point. And I'm sitting there looking at it. We only had one pair of binoculars. Like, all we were there to do was check cameras, and then we were going to go home. So we had one pair of binoculars. I didn't have my spotting scope. We weren't really expecting much. And my dad told me before I even got the tag that there were no deer on the property, and so it was going to be a really lame hunt. So I had all these backup plans for what I was going to do. And yeah, like a week before we pop over, I glass up this 2-point. I point it out to my wife. I hand her the binoculars, and she keeps looking, and she's like, "No, that's got to be at least a 3-point, maybe even a 4-point." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" So I grabbed the binoculars back from her, and I watched this 2-point for probably 15 minutes, trying to put another tine on it. I
Yeah.
never could. And then it got later in the evening, and then I saw about 20 or 30 yards to the right of the deer I was looking at a nice 4-point
Oh man.
that she'd been looking at,
Oh,
telling
so
me.
that's the one she'd been looking at. Okay.
Yep. And I was like, all right, we're not going to go down there yet. And then I'm like, let's just sit here and watch them. So we ended up sitting on that ridge. Again, all we have is binoculars. And by the end of the night, I was counting like 4 or 5 bucks that I was like, those are okay bucks. Like, I would be really happy to go get one with a bow. I don't know how big they are because I don't have my spotting scope, but I would be stoked with any of them. I was like, we got to come up again before Manhattan. So I think we ended up there maybe the night before, or a couple nights before, like two or three nights before the hunt started. And I brought my spotting scope this time, and I have some awesome footage of a bunch of deer. There were probably five or six like nice 4 points on the property, and then the buck that we ended up nicknaming the Dream was the buck I ended up killing. And as we had the spotter out, I kept looking at all these other deer, because I mean, mule deer are just so fun to watch. I after shooting my buck the year before, I began to fall in love with mule deer, and this year helped even more with that.
I bet. 200-inch typical will do that.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm looking at the other deer, and every time my eyes just keep getting drawn back to this one that, like, I mean, I have a video of him next to two other 4 points that I would have considered any other year. Like, I would have gone and chased him.
Yeah.
And he just dwarfs him. Like, body size, antler size, not even close.
Uh-huh.
And so that kind of, like, set my mind of, okay, this is the deer that I'm going to have to chase and hold out for this year. Like, either I'm not killing a deer because it's year one of my dedicated tag, or that is the deer I'm killing.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So we went and we hunted him. And, I mean, the first morning we saw him, I put him to bed. I didn't really try and get in on a stalk, because what they were doing is they have this big grass meadow they'd feed out into in the evening. Okay. And then they'd feed back up into like the sagebrush or sarvis berries. In the evening, there was like a little group of aspens. And then where we'd sit is like 700 yards up the ridge. So like, okay, they could care less where we were.
Yeah.
So we went and saw him the opening morning, and I put him to bed. And then I actually, unfortunately, had to go run some errands that day.
Oh, no way.
I had to bed him and then leave and then come back in the evening to try and hunt him. And
those must have been important errands.
Yeah. they definitely
crazy.
Were.
Yeah. Okay.
It kind of sucked. I think the other thing was, I also didn't realize how big this deer was.
Oh, okay.
Like, I knew it was big, and I'm fairly new to the scoring thing. Like, the first deer I had ever even scored was my deer the year before. Uh-huh. And it was 170 was roughly what it ended up scoring. 170 gross, which I don't really hunt for the score yet, but I don't know if I ever will. I'm just out there to have a good time in the outdoors.
Right.
So I'm sending the videos I have of this buck, the Dream, to some of my buddies. I have guides and things, and everybody I'm sending it to goes, that's a great deer. He's like 180. Next year he'll be like really big.
Really?
But I don't know if it'll last till next year. And I'm like, okay, that's all right. Like, I'm, again, very happy with this deer.
Right.
So I was probably going to chase him anyway. Day one, end up, I got a little excited with it being my first bow hunt. Uh-huh. I was essentially sitting in a bush where I thought they were going to come through, and a lightning storm rolled through, like a little lightning storm. And I had another deer that had a frame about the size of the one I shot, but just like super crabby forks.
Okay.
Run through and stop at like 25 yards.
No way. On your first bow.
On my first evening as a bow hunter.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like freaking out, adrenaline through the roof. And I had my pin set further away because I thought for sure if a deer is going to come through, it's going to come through further away and not run right over top of me.
Yeah.
And so I kind of just guessed and dropped my pin low and shot right over its back.
Oh, man. That's so lucky now that we know the whole story.
Oh, 100%. 100%. So right over its back, it runs off, and then nothing else happened the rest of the that night besides me having a doe blow at me and scare everything else off. So, and we never saw the buck. We never saw the dream that night. I had my brother up on the hill watching just to see if he could see it, and never came out.
Okay.
So I'm going to fast forward. Oh, go ahead. It sounded like you were going to ask a question.
No, so the last time you've seen him is that morning when you bedded him. Okay.
Yep. And I mean, I'm just going to fast forward and I'll hit some of the high points because I'm sure there are a lot of nights where it was like, I just didn't see him, or I tried to make a stalk, but it was too dark too fast, or just things not working out, or I'd go up in the mornings and I wouldn't see him. And there were a lot of days like that. And I think that's something when we talk about these hunting stories that people don't realize. there's a lot of those days where you do not see the deer you're after, even on a place where there's no other hunting pressure. Like that's one other thing that I was very fortunate to know is I knew I'd be the only one on that property unless somebody was trespassing. Essentially until the late rifle hunt when my cousins and my wife had a tag.
Okay.
So like I knew I had a deadline if I wanted to be the one to kill the deer, but I also had time the other thing. And so I'll get into some of the close calls. And there were times when I think if I'd have been in a place where it wouldn't have been, if I hadn't been that confident, I probably would have taken a shot that I probably shouldn't have.
No, that makes sense.
So anyway, fast forward. I'm trying to figure this deer out. Like I'm trying to get down into a place where I can sit and he'll walk right past me on his way to this meadow to feed. I mean, they're doing it every single night. We're seeing him almost every single night at the beginning of archery. He's not getting out in this meadow until after dark, but he's just kind of hanging up in the brush. And so I'm guessing where he's going to be. And I swear I guessed wrong every single time. It'd be like I'd set up in one place and he'd be 600 yards down the property, or probably not 600, like 300 or 400 yards down the property, where I couldn't get to because of all the deer. And that was another big challenge, is this was the most deer we'd ever seen at like where we're hunting in a year. We were counting, there was one or two nights we were counting 28 different like bucks.
No way. So you have most lots of, them, of eyes on you.
Most of them are little forkies, but like, yeah, they're, I mean, it's just deer everywhere. So trying to get in and hide when he's one of the last ones to come out just was not working at all.
That's hard to do.
So I'm sneaking down there. It's not working. And finally, I just decide, hey, I'm just going to go sit and watch and see what he does. So I pick a different glassing point where I can kind of see the area he's going to come through better. Everybody's going to laugh at this when they hear it, but I decided that I was just going to, again, I'm just glassing. I'm not necessarily hunting. I brought my bow, but I left it in the truck. Because I'm expecting him to be in the bottom like he has every single other night. So I'm sitting there with my wife on the hill just watching the deer, and I look to my left, and like 140 yards to my left, there he is standing in the bushes.
No way.
And my bow's in the truck.
Oh, no.
So I take off. I get up over where he can't hear me, and I sprinted to the truck. To try and get back, and my wife was kind of keeping an eye on him, and he fed into an area where she couldn't see him. So I just started sneaking along this area, and this was one of the closest opportunities I had. I'm sneaking through this area, and I see this 2-point. So I just tuck down, I stay calm. The 2-point feeds around a bush, and I continue walking. I get up to this opening to my right, and I turn to my right, and I see on the ground this bush 40 yards So well with it, like within my range that I actually feel comfortable.
Uh-huh.
And I just see antlers sticking out of this bush.
No
so I pull up
way.
my binos, and it's not the buck I'm chasing.
Oh, jeez. I was going to
so
say.
It's actually the buck I missed the first day.
Okay.
So I'm sitting here having this debate because I know the other buck is in here. I know I have this one bedded 40 yards to my right. And then the 2-point walks out, sees me, and spooks.
Oh.
And then I see the bigger buck, the dream, jump up. He was probably 60 yards away from me. I just couldn't see him. So he jumps up and they take off into the bottom. And I'm sitting there having a debate in my mind whether I'm going to try and shoot this other one. And he was gone so fast, there was no opportunity anyway.
Oh, okay.
So, but like that was really exciting, a really exciting day when we were like, I got close and I wasn't expecting to because I was just there to watch.
So and now it you're like, it to, can actually happen. Like,
yeah, it could happen. And I'm not going to leave my bow in the truck next time.
That's funny.
So another one, and I'll share, I have two more on the archery that are probably worth sharing. This one was so frustrating. So this one was actually closer to the beginning of archery, and I'd been sick the week before the season started.
Uh-huh.
And when I get sick, I get this cough that just won't go away.
Oh no.
So I have like cough drops and lozenges, and I was ready to go. I felt good.
Yeah.
So I'm tucked down in the brush in the bottom, and this group of 5 2-points comes out. I'm feeling good about where I'm at. And I start to get a coughing fit, like right before they're in the area or right before they're past the area where they feel they're still kind of on edge. They're not out in this meadow feeding already. So they're kind of there. And I watch 4 of the 5 deer jump over the fence into this meadow while I'm like dying under this bush, trying not to cough.
Yeah.
And this last deer just holds up. And I finally just let out this little cough. And he turns, pins me, and takes off the other way. And probably 100 yards further up this little draw I was sitting at the bottom of, I see the big buck, the dream, spook and follow this 2-point out. So I have a feeling he would have come down and I would have had an opportunity, but I was dying under this bush.
Yeah.
I was like, this stupid little 2-point, because the other 4 are out in the meadow feeding, not a care in the world. And this last one
just holds up enough. Dang it.
But anyway, so there was that story. One other little side story, and I have some amazing pictures from this. I asked one of my buddies to go with me, Drake. His Instagram's Out West Hunters, so maybe a couple people have heard of him.
Oh yeah.
He went with me, and for some reason the buck was out way earlier than usual. Like, it's getting dark at 8. He was out at 6 feeding.
No way. So you have 2 hours.
So we have 2 hours, and I'd been up there the day before and hadn't seen anything, but I'd watched a deer go from right where he was at over to this pond, where it was getting water and then feeding out into this meadow. And I'm like, I know exactly where he's going.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even if it wasn't him, I know exactly where he's going. I was like, I watched a deer do this yesterday. So we make a plan, and him and I end up going down off of this hill, and we're trying to be slow and go quiet. And I think we got there. The story is we're walking through and we're getting close to this pond.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, we are probably, I mean, I can tell you the exact distance. We're 77 yards away from the far side of this pond. And Drake goes, hold up. And he runs up out of the bottom of this pond and stands on top of like the dirt mound.
The deer does?
Yes.
No way.
And stops at 77 yards.
No.
And I have Drake with me with his camera, who's ready to film everything.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there going, the maximum, absolute maximum I can shoot and feel comfortable shooting is 60.
Oh, so you have to cut 17 yards. Does he have you guys pegged, or does he not know you're there?
He doesn't, but that's the issue. And I can send you this picture as well. I think I did. There's like five other deer in between us and him that are looking right at us.
Yeah. So there's nothing you guys could do,
there's
really.
There's nothing we can do.
Film it.
So I set my bow down and we just got some really cool pictures.
No way. Yeah, you did send those pictures over. I can remember them now. Those are pretty unreal pictures.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's incredible. He's with two other bucks that are actually hard-horned already. But he's still in the velvet, just standing on this ridge. And we watched him for probably 20 minutes stand on this ridge, and there was nothing we could do about it.
No way. So you had him that long. Oh, that's crazy.
Yep. And then it got dark, and we just snuck out. And again, that was probably one of the opportunities that if I was in a place where, and I shouldn't admit this, that if I was in a place where I knew he was going to get a lot more pressure and there was a chance I'd never see him again, I may have flung an arrow.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Like, I'd shot that far at tack. Like, uh-huh. I'd been shooting at tack, but I just did not feel good. I wasn't that confident in my shot.
Yeah,
going into the season.
And with dedicated hunter, you have a few more hunts. Like you said, you're the only one who can hunt this area. So, I mean, you don't need to push them. Smart move, but that's hard to do.
it was really hard. It was very adrenaline, and I finally, like, I had to physically set the bow down far enough away that I would have had to cause a big disturbance to get to it.
That's exactly what I would have had to do.
Shoot.
Yeah.
So it was good. And then, I mean, like, just archery in general was a blast. Like, I got to learn so much about the deer and just deer in general that I didn't know before, which was so fun. And then as we got closer to the end of archery, he shed his velvet. And as people will know, their behavior completely changes and you get to learn it all again.
So were you still seeing him once he stripped his velvet, or was he just a lot more nocturnal, or how, like, what changed?
Yeah, I was seeing him. So I went from seeing him every single day, almost every day I was up there, to like once every 3 to 5 days. Okay. And this deer is hanging out in probably a 800 yard circle.
Okay. Like, so it's not a huge area.
It's not a huge area. In fact, I could know where he was most of the time. It was just a matter of fact of whether or not I saw him.
Okay.
And it just, like, that's what it turned into. And during the muzzleloader, and I guess even the end of archery, when I was seeing him, it was for about 10 seconds as he was walking in between bushes.
Okay.
So not only was I only seeing him every 3 to 5 days, but I was only seeing him for about 10 seconds.
So he's living in, like, thicker country now.
Yep. He moved into thicker brush and wasn't coming out as early. And so I knew it was going to be a lot tougher.
Yeah. But so one question I had, so with the property you're hunting, is it big enough where you're not worried about him leaving? Or, like, is that kind of in the back of your mind at all?
Oh, no, he could have left.
Okay, but you're just...
I just knew there was nothing I could do about it. Yeah.
And then, like, do they migrate at all? Like, are you worried, like...
They do.
The later you get in the year, maybe he's going to pick up and go somewhere else.
Yep. No, okay. That's also in the back of my mind.
Yeah.
And I have this deadline of my cousins are going to start hunting, and I didn't really want them to kill this deer I'd already hunted for a month and a half.
Right. You put in so much time and effort. And
yep. So. And one other thing is, like, I know he's not on the property all day, every day. He'd be on the property during the daytime, but he'd feed off of it at night.
Okay.
So like, that's another thing is I know the property owners next to us, and it's actually a CWMU. So I know, like, We border a CWMU, so I'm like, anybody can be over there hunting.
Right. That's a dangerous game. Okay.
It
And you don't
was
really know
also
the season dates on the CWMU,
no.
so it's just like they could be hunting with a rifle right now while
Oh,
I'm bow hunting.
dude. I was hearing suppressed rifle fire during my archery hunt, and I was getting so frustrated.
Oh, yeah. That
Because
would be
I knew
so
that's exactly
nervous.
what they were doing.
Yeah.
But I don't even think they knew he was there. And
Okay.
especially once he went hardhorn, if I'm only seeing him every 3 days and I'm looking for him,
Right. He's not easy to find.
no, definitely not. So yeah, we'll fast forward the muzzleloader. I know I'm kind of getting long-winded.
Oh, no, you're good.
During the muzzleloader, I had two opportunities. The first one, I don't know what it is with Drake, but I invited Drake up and was like, "Hey man, I need help killing this deer." So we picked a morning and went up, and he stayed out like 2 hours later.
No way.
Like usually all the deer are bedding down right in that gray light time where you can kind of see them, kind of not. This deer was out. I mean, he was probably out 30, 40 minutes after the sun was fully up. He was just feeding.
Wow.
And so I ran over to get closer. I'm probably about 100 yards on my muzzleloader. I could shoot to 150, and I felt good about that. And he's with another buck. So I start sneaking over to where these deer are, and I'm up. Wind's kind of swirling, but I'm in a place where I feel good that they're going to feed right to me. And Drake's back videoing it all. I think he sent me like 40 minutes of video.
Yeah.
But I sneak over and I see the other deer that's with him at, I think it was 120 yards. I ranged him at 120 yards, but I can't pick him out through the thick brush from where I'm at.
Okay.
So I step out from behind. I get to a spot where I can kind of see, and I just sit down.
Yeah.
And again, the wind's kind of swirling, and I don't know if he smelled me. I don't know if I made a little noise and he got alerted, or the cowboys were there to pick up cows on the other side of the property, not where I'd been hunting, but on the other side of the property that day. And they were making a ton of noise up on the ridge. Anyway, this deer turns, and I first saw him at it was probably 120 yards walking straight away from me.
What?
He never turned. He just walked straight away
Straight
from me until he
away.
was up over the ridge.
No.
So I had him close enough to shoot him with a muzzleloader, and he just never turned.
Oh,
And I
man.
still don't know why. I still don't know why he went on alert and walked straight away from me, because he was feeding my direction and then just 180 walked straight away.
Just never even looked back at all, huh?
Yep.
So you that was close. That's about as
Close.
close as it gets with a
Yep.
muzzleloader.
Yep. And then I had him, I think it was 2 days later in a different area. I got pegged by a little buck. I was just sitting trying to relocate him because I didn't know where he went. I didn't know if he was off the property or what. And yeah, I'm sitting there watching this little buck, and I see him walk up right behind this little buck. I think they were at 180, but I didn't have a great shot, and that was a
Yeah.
little far with an open sights muzzleloader for me. And
Right.
so he just walked off, and I tried to find him again later to try and make a stalk and just never could. And so that was the end of my muzzleloader
Oh man.
hunt.
So a
So
couple close calls, but not quite.
not quite. I never drew an arrow. I didn't get a shot. So it like I was kind of getting frustrated, but also I knew it was going to be hard to kill this deer. They don't get big by being dumb.
Yeah, and at least you're seeing them. Like, it's not like you're having trouble turning them up.
And that also gave me a lot of hope, because again, there were other deer on the property that I would kill in a heartbeat any other
Yeah,
year. And
right.
In fact, we named one of them that was in a very killable location every night. We named him Lucky Seven, and his name was Lucky Seven because he was a 3x4, and he was lucky because there was a bigger deer on the
Yeah. He would have been
property.
in trouble.
Oh yeah. Well, he was. My cousins ended up getting him,
Oh,
so
okay.
he did end up in trouble. But anyway, the early rifles coming around, and I actually drew. I was very fortunate and drew a limited entry elk tag at the Hunt Expo for the
Nuh-uh.
mid-October
I didn't
season.
know
So,
that.
yep,
What?
I did. So I had a great year. I ended up killing a nice bull too.
What? That's crazy.
I spent zero time hunting the elk because I was chasing this deer. I spent zero time scouting, I
Smart.
guess, is
That's
what
what
I
I
should
like to
say.
hear.
I
You have
spent
your
zero
priorities
time,
straight.
100%. I spent zero time scouting. I went out on my elk hunt, and I was actually planning on, because the elk season dates and my deer season dates overlapped. So my deer early rifle was in the middle of my elk hunt, and I was ready to leave my elk hunt to go hunt this deer with a
Yeah.
rifle. Luckily, we found a nice bull opening morning, got really lucky, and I ended up tagging out opening morning on my bull. So
Oh, that's
when the
way
deer count
nice.
rolled around, I didn't have to worry about it. And this is like my last chance before my cousins are up there. So I've taken the week off work for my elk hunt, and I'm like, I'm not going back to work now to keep
Yeah.
hunting my deer. So
And you
I
only
went up
have
with him
5 days on this
5
early
days.
rifle hunt, just so the listeners know. Like that's not a lot of time. That goes by quick.
It's not a lot of time, and when I'm only seeing him every, what, 3 to 5 days anyway, like I'm
Yeah.
hoping to see him once and get an opportunity.
Right.
So I go up with a buddy opening morning, absolutely nothing. Like
Oh
we
man.
saw a couple deer, but like nothing that even resembled him. And so I'm like, all right, I'll go up by myself tomorrow, I guess. I'm sitting there, and this is the most exciting part of the story because this is the day I killed him, and it was one of those days where I was exhausted and didn't want to get out of bed.
Yeah, that's what it happens.
My alarm goes off, and I'm sitting there having a debate in my mind. Do I even get up? Is it even worth it? Like, we didn't see him yesterday. He's not going to be there this morning. It's just not going to happen. I laid there for 5 minutes too long. I got up. I ended up getting stuck behind a school bus going up the canyon. And so
Nuh-uh.
I'm like
Everything was off.
15 minutes late, and I'm just like, whatever. Like, I'm just going to go enjoy the morning, I guess.
Yeah.
It beats going to work. So I end up going up there, and I sit down, and I'm just kind of glassing, and the spot I'd been seeing him the most consistently tell since he shed his velvet, I'm watching that like a hawk, because if I'm gonna see him, that's where he's gonna be. That's where he was on the muzzleloader. And sure enough, he steps out. And then my
No
adrenaline starts
way.
going, my mouth gets all chalky because I'm so
Yeah.
nervous. I start shaking, but I'm still 600 yards away, which some people can do with a rifle. I wasn't ready to do that with a rifle.
Right.
I have a very nice rifle, but I was not ready to do that. I was like, let's try for 300 or 200 or whatever
Yeah.
I can get to. This deer hasn't been pressured. I'm like, he's been scared a couple times during archery, but we never chased him. We just kind of let him go and calm back down.
Yeah.
So I sneak over to a place that is right above where I was on the muzzleloader, where I think I can see more, and I sit down because he's feeding over just like he had. So I sit there and I waited for probably 40 minutes,
And you don't
and
have eyes on him right
I
now.
do not have eyes on him right now.
Okay. And okay.
So I walk over and I sit down and I'm waiting. And I waited for 40 minutes, and I'm just like, he's gone. he chucked up into some thick brush. I don't have a spotter with me, so I can't have somebody tell me if he ran away.
Like, right. Yeah.
He's gone. So I waited and I finally just got tired of it. It's late enough in the morning. I'm not seeing any of the other deer moving. So I grab my stuff and I start heading back to the truck. And I kind of knew where he was. I was like, he'll probably be there in the evening, so we'll just have to get into a spot in the evening. And I'm walking back, and I'd left my spotter where I'd first seen him, and I go to pick it up, and I turn around to take one last look, and all I see are antlers sticking out of this bush.
No.
I have a video of it. All you can see are antlers from where I'm at, and I'm like, he's still there.
No so way.
I kind of survey the terrain. I pick a spot where I can get closer, and I end up getting to a spot where I'm 300 yards away, which I'm okay shooting three, yeah. Especially laying prone. Like, I can do three.
Right.
So I set up my rifle. I grab my spotting scope and set it up next to me. And I had my rifle set where I can lay down and shoot. I already made sure I was comfortable. And I was like, I'll just get my spotter on him so I can watch him and make sure he's there and even get a video when I shoot so I can make sure, so I know how I hit him or where I hit him and all of that.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there, I have my rifle set up to my right, and I'm trying to find him in the spotter. I see him in my peripheral vision stand up.
No way. Oh, man. So now panic.
100% panic. Because I'm like, do I drop down and take the shot now? Do I, like, try and get the spotter on him?
Yeah.
So I took a breath. I'm like, he doesn't know I'm here. I get the spotter on him, and then I drop down to my rifle and...
No way. That's brave. That's brave.
It was brave, but I mean, he's at 300 yards. He's not panicked. Like, yeah. I can tell he's not panicked. He's not running. In fact, in the video, he's just feeding along in the brush, and finally he turns broadside and I drill him.
Perfect shot.
I was a little high. I hit close to the spine, but I mean, he just dropped right where he was.
Like, yeah.
He wasn't going anywhere.
Oh my gosh. What does that feel like?
It was very exciting. It was so fun. I was texting all of my buddies and my brother and my dad, like, just stoked out of my mind. And I don't even know how, I don't even think there's a good way to describe it. Because I was so excited, and then maybe it's just me, but in the time I've had to reflect on it, and even that day a little bit, like, I was so happy that the story with this deer closed the way it did, but there was part of me that just, like, kind of felt a sadness because of the respect I had for this animal that I just took.
Yeah, and it's taken and up, like, so much of your life. Like, I've had that so with other big much. Deer, and it's like, oh man, it's over. Like, I'm not gonna go look for this deer again. He's not there.
yeah, and that's exactly what it was. But I mean, I was stoked out of my mind. I texted my brother, and he called me like a second later. I texted my wife. My wife's a school teacher. I want you to know, I texted her first.
Yeah,
she's a school teacher. I didn't call her because I didn't want to interrupt class. But oh, she did call me on her break. We FaceTimed, and I mean, she was stoked. My brother left work to come and help me get it out, which,
no way.
Being where it was, I drug him 100 yards down the hill and threw him in the bed of a side-by-side. So
it what was it like putting your hands on him, though? Were you just like did you were you just like, I cannot believe this? Even the pictures, I can't even imagine in real life.
Honestly, I was awestruck because I knew it was a big deer.
Yeah.
And, like, it was one of those where you're like, okay, that's a good deer when you're looking at him and viewing him. And I knew he was bigger than all of the other deer, but I didn't know how much bigger. And then when you get up to him, you're like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Because their body size, at least on this deer, hit a lot. Like, he's really hard to judge. When I was going into it, people were telling me he's like 180, mid 180s, and they're like, we're conservative on our guesses, so he might go higher than that. But That's where we put him.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's not 180.
No,
I'll tell you
no.
that much. I was stoked. I mean, he has the mass. We called him the dream for a reason because he is like a dream buck. He curls super nice. He has beautiful big splits. He has tons of mass on the right antler. I don't remember which measurement it is. It's off of the main beam right before the fourth point. It's like five and a quarter inches around.
No way. So he probably has like 40 inches of mass at least.
Yeah. So I mean, just like
Wow.
a massive, huge deer and just unreal. I just sat on the hill for the hour while I was waiting for my brother and just
Yeah.
was in disbelief because,
Yeah, he just
yeah.
has it all. Like you said, he's just the dream. That's a perfect name for him. Just everything's long, bladed, heavy, just everything you can hope for in a giant typical.
Yeah, literally everything. And I mean, he's by far the biggest buck we've ever seen up there. And I ended up taking him to my dad at work, which
Yeah.
spoiled his work day and brought him a deer. And I went over to a buddy's, and I think you mentioned this at the beginning of the podcast. He's almost 200 inches. I had two people tape him, and he went 199 and 1/8 and 199 and a quarter between the two people that taped him.
As a
So,
typical too, that is insane. I can't even
yeah.
fathom that. That's awesome.
Which has been a blast because then I get to go talk to all of the people that were telling me 180s, and I'm just like, that's okay. Like, I understand, but it's so cool to guess what a deer is beforehand and then see what it turns like, see what it
Oh
actually
yeah.
is. And yeah, it's just incredible. And seeing people's reactions, so I brought it to a couple people. One of them is the guy I have doing my taxidermy. I'm gonna put it on a pedestal mount and whatever. And I took it to him and I called him the night before or the day before. And I was like, hey, I have like a 190 inch deer. Just because I again was like kind of confident in my buddy who taped him, but I also was like, I don't know what to expect and I don't want to get too excited thinking this deer is bigger than it is. So
Right.
I'm like, he's 190, and I tell the taxidermist, and he's like, I always get a little nervous when people tell me how big a deer is or an elk,
Yeah.
just because some people don't know. And I took it to him, and he's like, it's a good buck. He goes, I'm unsure about like the main beams. He's like, he couldn't tell from looking at it how big it would go. And as soon as he taped that first main beam, because I asked him to score it, he's like, oh, you got it.
Yeah. Do you
Which
remember what his beams were?
I can look it up. I have the paper right next to me,
Oh,
actually.
nice. I'm just curious.
And yeah, so this is part that is like really deceiving about him because he curls so hard.
Yeah.
So typically I think they come out more and they're more uniform out, but this one he curls around, and so anyway, I'll just average the two, 25 inches
Okay.
roughly is what the main beams ended up being on each side.
Dang.
So and that's each of them. Like, I mean, he's within on the two forms I'm looking at, he's within an eighth of an inch on both. One of them has him at 25 and 5/8, and the other one's at 24. And yeah, like so 25 and a half, or yeah, 25 and a little bit, and then 24 and like high 24s on the other one.
That's so
So
cool.
yeah, it's incredible is what it is.
It's the dream.
It's the dream.
So before we move on, I just want a few things I kind of picked up on that I think you did right, and maybe it's a little easier knowing that no one else was gonna hunt him, but also you kind of had to know like he could have moved on to that CWMU or another piece of property or even picked up and migrated, but I think like you being patient made a big difference with this buck. Like you said, even when you were on your rifle hunt, like you'd never spooked him really, and maybe you bumped him, but it's not like he didn't necessarily know he was being hunted. And I think that makes a huge difference, because at least in my experience, once I bump a deer, it gets a lot harder. So I think that's one thing that you definitely did right. And just listening to your stories, your patience, I think it made a big difference. But I don't know, is there something that you kind of learned from this deer that you'll do differently now, or that he taught you?
This is I had the dedicated tag, but this is actually my first time ever archery hunting. And so I need to put in a lot more practice during archery, or before archery season, so I'm better prepared during archery season. And same with muzzleloader, just mainly on the shooting, but also, I don't know, there's just so much. I think patience, you nailed a key one, being patient. And there's so many lessons I could go into, because it was such a different hunting experience than what we'd done in the past. Like, usually it was a push and find them and hope you get lucky. And this one was like, I was actually studying the deer. I was learning what he was doing. I was trying to figure out how to sneak down there quiet enough where I wouldn't scare all of the other deer. I was, just trying to learn. I think one of the biggest lessons that, or one of the biggest things I appreciate, is that patience, but also knowing my limits.
Mm-hmm.
And sticking to my limits.
Yeah, that's a big deal, because you could have wounded him and he could have left the property or just gone nocturnal, or like it's so hard to do, especially having a buck at 77 yards and you're like, I know I've made that shot. Like you even said, I've made that shot at tack, but I just don't feel comfortable. Like, it's hard to have that self-control, but that could have been the difference between you having that buck now and maybe he's gone or wounded and you never see him again.
Yep. One other lesson, misjudge him, but misjudge him small.
Yeah, that's the way to go. But a buck like that, like you walk up on him and I don't think there's any ground shrinkage.
No, he got bigger. I just said that because I think if you'd have told me at the beginning that I was hunting a 200-inch deer, I'd have freaked out.
It's a little intimidating there.
So I don't know, the biggest lesson, probably that patience that you already mentioned, and just a love and respect for mule deer that I don't necessarily think I had before. I thought they were cool, but just learning how they interact with one another and how they alert, and how they, even as frustrating as it was to have the does alert and blow and scare everything away, like, learning all of that was super valuable. And that would probably be one of the biggest things that I just want to tell people, is like, you can do it as a beginner. It's all just getting time out, learning what the deer are going to do or what the animals are going to do. Like, you can get lucky every now and then, but the more you know the animals, the higher chance of success you're going to have. And you're only going to get to know them better by getting out and actually watching them.
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. Like, you could read all this stuff, you can watch all these videos, but firsthand knowledge, time in the field, is what kind of is that next step.
100%. It's way different stalking in on a deer than watching it on a YouTube video.
Yeah, for sure. So I guess to kind of go on to that next thing, like, I just want to give you a chance to talk about dark energy a little bit. I know that you guys sent me like that backcountry bundle. I use it on my hunt this year, and it saved me, because I mean, I don't know, maybe it's my phone, but when I use maps on my phone, like Onyx or something, it seems to die really quick. So to have that I could use a solar panel or the battery, it saved me. And then I'm able to get footage on my hunt and not have to worry about trying to save the battery. But you guys have some new stuff coming out, and so I just wanted to give you a chance to kind of talk about it and tell the listeners.
Yeah, yeah. That, I mean, you just summed up exactly a major piece of why we exist. My boss, when he founded the company, was out on an archery hunt and got rained on and his battery shorted out. And so he couldn't do that. And so he went and started Dark Energy, so that people can have reliable power when they're outdoors. And I mean, I probably shouldn't admit this on the podcast, but I was with my brother trying to film him 2 years ago during his archery hunt on a deer hunt. And I left my charger in the side-by-side and didn't have it and was filming and not even thinking about it. And he got into a place where he actually ended up getting a shot on a deer. And I missed it because my phone died about a minute before that.
Oh, no.
So, like, that's a piece of it. And then you nailed it. You hit the nail on the head. Most people, when they're running their maps, I mean, essentially all maps, because they're using GPS, are going to drain your battery faster. And we don't want people to be stranded in an emergency. So we make batteries and solar panels so guys can use them. And like that realistically is what it comes down to. We have some awesome new products that I wanted to just hit really quick. They launched this last week. It's our Poseidon XL, Spectre 56 watt panel, and a couple accessory items to go with those. So like a bag and a adapter to charge it from the wall. And these ones are even better because all of our other stuff, the Poseidon Pro and the Poseidon Nano, they've been around for a little while and are waterproof and tough and built to go outdoors and charge your phone. This new stuff is built for larger devices. So it can actually, the Poseidon XL can run a Starlink Mini for a few hours. It can charge your laptop. It's still small enough where you can take it on an airplane. So it's like the perfect battery for if you need a little extra juice. If you're like me and you like to watch movies at night or want to surf the internet a little bit whenever you want rather than having to check in at work. And so it's absolutely perfect for that and still super tough and durable and reliable, just like the rest of our products are made to be, because we don't want you getting rained on or falling in the river or dropping it and your battery not working and you getting stranded.
That's cool. So that's what it is. It's kind of just that next step up, a little more power. But I mentioning like the rain and stuff, I was going to share a quick story from my backcountry hunt this fall. So I had your charger. Mm-hmm. What's the orange one called that I had?
That's the Poseidon Pro.
Okay, so I had the Poseidon Pro, and then my buddy actually had like a charger, a power bank that he bought off of Amazon. But we kept getting in these rainstorms and like we were sopping wet, our rain gear's wet, and like his stopped working just because it had gotten wet, and mine had gotten wet too, but it still worked and held a charge, and we were both able to charge off of mine. But that's one thing. I wanted to point out about the Dark Energy stuff is it's just tough, and it's built for hunters by hunters like you, Braden, and like you can just trust that it's going to work, and that's a big deal when you're in that kind of country and on those hunts to have be able to charge stuff.
Definitely. That's an awesome story. I don't have one personally of me getting stuck in the rain. but I'm glad I have tested our products in water, and I'm glad they stand up because it's important to have, as well as I love watching videos. I have probably 20 hours of footage of this deer I killed because through my spotting scope. So,
that's awesome. You're going to have to send a few of those to me. I'll post them on Instagram so the listeners can see.
I can do that.
But thanks again for getting on and telling your story. And I think there's just so much to learn from these giant deer, and a 200 inch typical is the dream. That's what we all kind of hope for.
definitely. thanks for having me on. Hopefully somebody was able to learn something or just enjoyed hearing a hunting story. I know I do. So.
Yeah.
Hey guys, thanks again for listening. I really appreciate it. And thanks to everyone who got tickets for the Big Eyes giveaway. I really appreciate all the support. It means a whole lot to me. We'll be doing that giveaway the first week in December. As soon as I nail down an exact date, I'll put it out there. But I was thinking of doing the giveaway through Instagram Live, just so it's live and open and everyone feels like they got a fair chance. And then don't forget about the Black Friday deals for Dark Energy. Anyways, thanks again.